All right. Okay, guys, so thanks for being here. We know that it's a bit difficult to be here on Friday afternoon, so hopefully you will have a pleasant time with us. So my name is Victor Arsatin. I'm a program manager in the enterprise. Well, we renamed our group. It was called the Windows Server and System Center. Now it's Enterprise Cloud Group, okay, at Microsoft. And I am honored to be here with Marcus Klein. Marcus Klein.
Thank you.
And we want to take you through the journey that one of our customers went when they wanted to integrate Windows Azure Pack with their own custom portal. We will show you their journey, what were the challenges that they faced, and how actually they did the implementation. All right? A prerequisite for this session is the session that was delivered by the WAP team yesterday by Ryan John and the Sri, so where they explained how to leverage PowerShell in order to automate or to perform activities using the public tenant API in WAP. So that's the only prerequisite that you need for this session. Okay? Just to get an idea of where you are with Windows Azure Pack, can you raise your hand if you have already deployed Windows Azure Pack? Okay, so like 10% of the room. So what about the rest? What is your experience with Windows Azure Pack? None? Or we will say that is 100 level, 200 level, your experience with Azure Pack? Okay, so what we are going to do in this session is the following. We will introduce first who the customer is, okay? Then we will review what Azure Pack is at a 100, 200 level. What I will need is you guys to stop me or stop Marcus if something is not clear so that we can cover it right now before going into the integration phase. One, the integration phase is actually quite easy if we understand the basic concepts of Azure Pack. So please feel free to stop us, ask questions as you need, either during the session, after the session, or then on a one-to-one basis with us. And as well, if you feel more comfortable asking questions in German or in English rather than Spanish, feel free, or Spanish as well, feel free to do it. We can make the translation for the rest of the audience. So let's start with our session. So we have a very easy agenda. We wanted to keep things as simple as possible and just focus on the important things. We want to introduce you the customer that performed this work. We will set the basic level of Azure Pack and the Cloud OS, and then we will go into the integration activities. What happened, what we had to do, what were the challenges, and how we overcome those challenges. Okay? We will have a lot of demos. They are very cool demos, so and we can spend as much time as you want on the demos. All right, let's introduce the customer. So for those of you that are based in Germany or in Austria, Switzerland, in those countries, probably you have heard about Wormant AG, okay? Wormant AG is their main business is hardware manufacturing, where they also have, they are Microsoft resellers, they are an ODM, they offer services, they offer training, so they have a very, very rich portfolio of services, okay? So we can see here that obviously, we can see the offerings that Wormant have in the right. For example, one of the offerings is they sell servers, they sell PCs, okay? They offer training, they offer different services. But what I want you to focus in this slide is in the picture on the right, all right? I want you to focus on the business model of Wormant. Wormant sells services and products to their customers via resellers, okay? They don't have a direct point of sale to end customers. The resellers is a very important figure for them. And this is how historically they have been doing business. They have a very, very, very big number of partners and resellers. And here we can see their main market. Okay? They are based in Germany, as we discussed. Their main markets are the countries that are surrounding Germany, like Austria, Switzerland, France, but they also have expansion plans for other countries in Europe and Middle East and Africa as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, Wormant started a journey with us, with Microsoft, through the Cloud OS Network program or the COSN program. If you have you ever heard about the COSN program? Can you raise the hand if someone has? All right. A few of you. So, basically, the COSN program is a partnership we did with a selected number of customers. Initially, you can see the ones that we have in the slide, so that they could offer premium hosting services to their customers. Those premium hosting services are based on the Cloud OS stack, which is Windows Server 2012 R2, System Center 2012 R2, and a very important component, the Windows Azure Pack. Basically, we are sharing, or we are supporting these customers. We are working closely to them. I can share more information after the presentation about the Cloud Cousin program with you if you are interested. But this is how we started the journey with Wormat. Okay? Then, before moving forward, then I would like to set base on the skill level in the room so that we are, all of us are comfortable and we have the same understanding of what the Cloud OS is. All right? Probably you have seen this picture 1,000 times during this week, okay? What is very important, because the Cloud OS is about consistency across clouds. It's about consistency on the Microsoft public cloud, which is Azure, the customer clouds, which are the private clouds that maybe you have on your own data centers, and the hoster clouds, which are the ones provided by our service providers. So the Cloud OS is about providing consistency about those three clouds so that we have a seamless experience between on-prem, public cloud, and hoster cloud. So probably, obviously, what cloud computing it is not a new concept for us. Probably you have heard that about on-demand self-service, rapid elasticity, resource pooling. Those are characteristics of the Cloud OS, of what cloud service is. The Cloud OS, Windows Server 2012 R2, System Center, and Azure Pack enables all those characteristics. And customers have different options. They could adopt different technologies for implementing a cloud service. Why Wormat chose the Cloud OS? Basically, Wormat is in the idea that they wanted to leverage the investments, knowledge, experience we had on Azure and operating very large services like Bing, MSN, different cloud services that we have operating for years back on-prem. So the learnings we are doing on operating very large scale services in Azure, we are bringing them on-prem with the different products that we offer. So let's start first reviewing how Azure is at a high level. So we know that Azure offers different services like infrastructure as a service, SQL as a service, service bus, websites. So there are a bunch of services offered through Azure. Okay, those services are exposed through us, mainly through a self-service portal. You know, the blue portal that we have at the moment is changing now, which is in preview, where as of today, this is the model that is using in Azure. That portal is sitting on top of the service management API, so that's the responsible for talking to the resource providers or the green boxes that you see over there. So how these investments are being translated to the technologies that we have on premises? Okay? In our data centers, this is what the Cloud OS is. At the foundation level, we have Windows Server 2012 R2 with Hyper-V, which is managed by System Center 2012 R2 with a very specific component, which is called SPF, or Service Provider Foundation. Okay? Then, we didn't reinvent the portal on premises. We bring the portal that is being offered in Azure, and this is what we are bringing on premises. So if you have seen the Windows Azure Pack portal, you will see that it's a very similar experience. It's very similar layout. The end user experience is super similar. The reason for that is because we are bringing that code from Azure to on-prem. That's why you have that seamless experience. The only difference that we have on-prem is that we are adding an extra portal, which is the admin portal. Why we don't have that portal in Azure? Because that's how we, Microsoft, manage Azure. That's how we manage the plans, configure the plans. That's how we manage our users. We don't expose that to the general public. In your case, we are giving you the portal so that you can perform that configuration of your plans, services, users, quotas, etc., for your own cloud. We are bringing seamless experience for the Service Management API. It's a common experience, so that what we are trying to do is have a consistency between the services and APIs that we have on Azure with the APIs that we have on-prem. Okay? Then, what do we have? We are bringing the services, a subset of services that we have on Azure, we are bringing a subset of those services to our on-prem solution. Which ones? For example, these are a sample of the services we have. And the one that we will be concentrated in this session is the VM clouds, which is the second from left to right. Okay? Then, before moving to the next slide, I want to pause here, and I want to make sure that we see where Windows Azure Pack is. Can you see in this picture where Windows Azure Pack is, or is not clear? Okay? So, Windows Azure Pack, I will try to use the pointer. Let me see. Okay. So Windows Azure Pack are the portals that we have here. Okay. Then the Service Management API that we have here and the resource providers that we have here. Okay. This is Windows Azure Pack. Okay. If we go to the next slide, we can see here in more detail what Windows Azure Pack is. As you remember, we have the management portals. Okay. We have the service management, which is a REST API. Okay? And we have the resource providers. We have websites, virtual machine clouds, service bus, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? We will be concentrating in this, and we will explain why this particular resource provider was of interest for our customer. Okay? I think I'm too far away from the computer. All right. So, if you install Windows Azure Pack, this is Azure Pack. Okay? It's just a collection of sites and endpoints. That it is. Okay? Obviously, it requires a database in order to store information. But this is what it's Azure Pack. So we have portals, admin, tenant portal. We have authentication portal and a special portal, which is for configuring Azure Pack. We have APIs. I want you to remember those ones because these are key for the session. We have the tenant API. Tenant public API and admin API. We will review them in the next slides. Resource providers, do you remember what resource providers is? It's how we expose or present services to our tenants via Azure Pack. And infrastructure, for example, we are offering different infrastructure components like PowerShell modules so that we can manage Azure Pack. Then, I think this picture has been presented before, but I will just summarize it, how the different components of Azure Pack interact with each other. Okay? First of all, we have the admin and the tenant portal that they are receiving claims for, in this case, for ADFAs. Authentication in Windows Azure Pack is claims-based authentication. Okay? The admin portal interacts mainly with the admin API, okay? And also interacts with the tenant API. Why with the admin API? Because with the admin API is how we configure the plans, how we set quotas, how we manage our subscriptions, how we manage the users. Tenant API is to manage tenant resources. But why the admin portal requires this? Because obviously the tenant portal requires to know which resources our tenants have assigned or are using so that they can support and manage those components. The next one is the tenant portal obviously has direct access to the tenant API, but okay? And then, obviously, we have our common services that are managed for a common infrastructure like Active Directory. Then, the different APIs, they talk directly to the resource providers that are the ones that actually execute our task. For example, if I am a tenant and I want to start a virtual machine, the flow is, obviously, I first authenticate into the tenant portal. I receive a claim from ADFS. I go to the tenant API with my subscription and virtual machine ID. I say, start virtual machine. And then this is where goes the tenant API goes to the resource provider, and the resource provider performs the action that I am indicating. Okay? We have three APIs. What is the difference between those three APIs? Admin API, basically, as we discussed, provides all the access to admin functionality. resource management, plans, subscriptions, user management, etc., etc. The key highlights of this column, or the blue column, is first of all, authentication is claims-based authentication. And second one, for PowerShell, we are using the admin. So PowerShell uses the admin API. Okay? Tenant API, what do we provide with Tenant API? Is we provide access to the to all the subscriptions. So we get access to all the virtual machines, we get access to the information of the different subscriptions that we have from our tenants. Very important, authentication is claims-based as well. Okay? And of also we have we have PowerShell modules for this API. The last one is a very different API, which is the tenant public API. Why would you need a public tenant API? You need a public tenant API if you want to allow, for example, your tenants to automate activities. For example, if you want your tenants not to use the portal but use PowerShell to create the virtual machines, you can expose this API so that they can perform that activity. Okay? What other thing? For example, if I don't want the users to do activities in their own subscription via the portal, but I want to do somewhere else, for example, from a command line, then they can use this API. What is the difference of what is a very important difference of this API with the other ones? Is the authentication. Authentication here is certificate-based authentication. Okay? So that's authentication that is required for our tenants to perform activities in their subscription. This is per subscription level. Okay? So I think this slide I will skip it. So basically it's just how a tenant, when it requires to perform an activity in Azure Pack, how it works. Basically is the tenant goes to the portal redirects it to the tenant to the STS where it can get a valid claim. It can be a chain of STS. It reaches the final STS. It types the credentials, okay? Then we get the claims. With the claims, the user returns to the portal. Okay? Once with valid claims, then the user gets access to the resources. This is important because this does not apply to the portal only, okay? So if you want to get access programmatically to the resources in Azure Pack, it will be a similar flow. Now, we talk about PowerShell, all right? Which kind of PowerShell modules we have available for our tenants? There are two types. We have the admin and we have the tenant. Okay, let's spend a few minutes in this slide, which is very important. Okay, in the admin, I perform the management of my resources, okay, in my Azure Pack installation. In the tenant, in the other side, I manage specific resources just for my subscription, my virtual machines, my SQL databases, the specific resources per subscription. We talk about the second one, the admin module requires claims-based authentication. In the opposite, the tenant requires certificate-based authentication. Okay? Remember the previous slide? That you required a valid claims in order to get to the portal or to the API. So this is where it applies for the admin. For the tenant, I just require a certificate. Okay? The next one is the admin PowerShell connects to the admin or to the tenant API. And let's check the difference for the tenant PowerShell modules. So they connect to the tenant public API. Okay? So we are seeing how we talk to the admin components and how we talk to the tenant components. The next one is also important because the admin PowerShell modules, they are available in WAP. When you install WAP, you have the PowerShell modules. But you don't have the tenant modules for PowerShell. So the tenant modules for PowerShell modules for the tenants are available in the Windows Azure SDK. Okay, when you download the Windows Azure SDK, you have the PowerShell modules for managing your Azure subscription, but also you have the PowerShell modules for managing your WAP tenant resources. Okay, this was just a high-level overview of WAP. So let's make a quick survey here. So was it clear the difference between how I manage admin components in opposite of how I manage tenant resources? So is it clear that we have two different sets of APIs? I have APIs for managing admin resources and APIs for managing the tenant resources. Are we okay with that? Okay. So let's see what were the challenges that Wormant had when they wanted to adopt Windows Azure Pack. Okay. First challenge, okay, how do I integrate Azure Pack into my environment? Okay, let's start with that question. Okay, let me go. Okay, here. So we talk about this. So Wormant is a customer that they sell hardware. They have a very rich set of portfolio of services. So why do they need to offer infrastructure as a service or cloud services if they have already a very rich set of offerings? I would say that the key message from this slide is that Wormant, while they are an OEM and they sell hardware, servers, computers, etc., they are seeing and they predict that the hardware sales will be declining over time in favor of cloud services. So they don't want to be reactive, and they don't want to wait until that trend keeps going. They want to act now. They want to become a hosting service provider. But they don't have experience in offering hosting services. They know how to sell hardware. They know how to go into the channel. But they don't have experience in selling cloud services. Okay? So, obviously, the Cloud OS or Windows Azure Pack in particular answered that problem. So, Azure Pack out of the box provides infrastructure as a service or the ability to create virtual machines for your tenants, okay, using a self-service model. Okay? But Azure Pack is not just a portal. A lot of people think that Azure Pack is just a portal to create virtual machines. It's more than that. And the most important part for me is the extensibility options that you have in Azure Pack. This slide is not the best to explain this, but I will do my best to explain the extensibility options. The first one is PowerShell. We talk about PowerShell, remember? We have PowerShell for managing admin resources, and we have PowerShell resources for managing the tenant-specific resources. Okay? Where do you think PowerShell sits in this picture? Where will you put it? If you have to put PowerShell, where will you put PowerShell in this picture? Okay? So it will go here, okay? Just above the service management API. We talk that PowerShell talks to the admin or tenant API or to the public tenant API. All right? The second extensibility option is the theming of the portal. Just you see it here. So by default, the Windows Azure Pack portal is blue. Okay? It's the same experience that you have in Azure. But you are allowed, it is supported to change the theming. You can change colors, you can change the logo, you can reflect or it has the theming or the colors of your company, and we will see it on the demos. The last two are probably the most complex, but are the ones that's the reason why we are in this session. Custom tenant portal, what does that mean? So what about if the portal that we are giving in Azure Pack is not enough for you? What about if you need to add other services? What about if the experience that we are presenting, you don't like it, and you want to present or your tenants to create virtual machines in another way? So it's possible we allow you to replace the tenant portal, to plug your own tenant portal with your own functionality. If you want to replace it, you will put it here at this layer on top of the service management API. Okay? The last one, custom resource provider. What does that mean? This means that in Azure Pack, we offer some services out of the box. But we allow you and we let you up, it's up to you if you want to create your own customer resource provider. So you can do this, it's fully supported, and currently we have partners that they have exploited this functionality to create customer resource providers and add extra functionality within WAP. Okay? So we know Windows Azure Pack, we know that we can extend it, but when Wormant tried to extend it, they faced these challenges. First of all, Wormant already have a portal, okay? They offer hosting and housing, okay? Housing is that they offer the data center so that the customers can bring their hardware to their Wormans data center, and they provide cooling, power, electricity, and general maintenance to the servers, okay? The other offering is hosting. These customers buy hardware from Wormans, but they don't have to put it into their data centers. They put it in Wormans' own data centers, and Wormans offers those services. Then Wormans, didn't want to have one portal for hosting and housing and another portal for Windows Azure Pack. They wanted to have a single portal for offering all their services. Other thing is that when resellers sell hardware, they follow a model which is called build to order. The equivalent of this is, for example, when you want to buy a new car, you go to the web page of the car manufacturer, you select the car, you select the model, you select engine, you select the tires, you select the, I don't know, packages, for example, a sport package, you select leather seats. Wormans have exactly the same functionality but for servers. So it's very granular. They can select at a very granular level how to request a new service. And they want Windows Azure Pack to be in the same way. Okay? Then Wormans have a very large number of resellers. So the last thing that they want is to say, okay, guys, this is the new portal. Now this is how you offer cloud services to your users. They didn't want that. They wanted to use the same portal that they have at the moment and just extend or add extra functionality to sell the cloud services to their customers. They are very experienced in PowerShell. That's the preferred method to do things. What they can do, or they have very good developers, but if possible, first, the first option is use PowerShell. Second option will be to use managed code in order to perform an integration. And last thing is, okay, we know that we will have to do some custom coding, but they had a problem. First of all, the developers didn't know anything about Azure Pack or System Center, so that's nothing that they do in the day-to-day basis. And on the other hand, the System Center guys and the Windows Azure Pack admins, they know how to manage their resources, but they don't have any experience coding. So how do we fill this gap? Okay? So this is the solution that Wormans did in order to integrate their own portal with Windows Azure Pack. What they did is leverage as much as possible PowerShell, okay, managed by SMA, okay? And they are making the calls to PowerShell and SMA via the Wormans' own custom portal. What they are doing is basically they are calling an SMA runbook when they want to perform an action on Windows Azure Pack. And then the SMA runbook, it has all the logic in PowerShell to perform the action on behalf of the tenants. We will see in the demo how this works. Okay? But this doesn't save us. Even when we had experience doing PowerShell, we had to do some coding. We had to do some integration in the portal. We had to call the service management APIs programmatically. How did we solve this problem? Okay, so we took as a reference this sample portal. Can you raise the hands if you have seen this sample portal before? Okay, just one in the room. Okay, so We in Microsoft created this sample portal, which basically is an ASP.NET portal that replaces the tenant functionality in WAP. Okay? Basically, this portal, you authenticate into the portal, then you are presented with your subscriptions, then you have the virtual machines, you can start, stop, deploy new virtual machines, call estimate runbooks, you can perform the activities that usually you do in the tenant portal in WAP, but you do this in a custom portal. What is why we are suggesting or we are sharing this with you? Because we noticed that in the early days, just writing the documentation of the APIs was not enough. Because the devs, they knew how to call the APIs, but they didn't have an experience in Windows Azure Pack. They didn't know what Azure Pack was. And we had the same problem with the admins. The IT admins knew Azure Pack, or they didn't know how to open Visual Studio. Or it's not a tool that they work with on a day-to-day basis. So what we did is we put together in a single portal how you call the service management APIs, how do you get the list of the virtual machines, how do you start the virtual machines in the subscription, how do you stop them in a programmatic mode. So basically, you download the code, you compile the code, because we are giving you the source code so that you can see how we are making the calls to the APIs, okay? And then you extend it. You can extend that one, you take it, use snippets of the code for your own solution as you prefer, okay? So this is how we started, and that is how we started to, so we knew how to call the APIs. When you download the slides, at the end of the slides, I put a lot of snippets on sample code that you can see how to call the APIs programmatically, okay? Or otherwise, you can download this resource and you can see how to perform all those actions from the portal, okay? So, getting back to our original problem, remember this picture. This is Azure Pack. Okay, we have service management API, we have virtual machines, we have automation, we have system center and Windows Server. So the Workman solution looks like this. Okay, as you can see, Workman is giving exactly the same portal that they are giving at the moment to their tenants or to their resellers and customers, and they are just adding infrastructure as a service as a yet another service that they sell. So they are selling housing, as we reviewed. They are already selling hosting. This is an offering they have in the future. The only thing that they did is they just added this functionality for Azure Pack into their own portal. Okay? How? As we reviewed in the previous slide, they call an SMA runbook via the API, and the SMA runbook is PowerShell at the end of the day. You want to deploy a virtual machine on a subscription, it's just PowerShell. You want to create a new virtual machine, stop them. You want to create, I don't know, a website. So it's very rich. So if you were in the session from yesterday from Sri and Ryan Jones on how to leverage PowerShell to create resources, then you know how to do this. Okay? So let me see. More than talking, let's see it in action. Okay? So Marcus will demonstrate how this is working. Feel free to stop him. And obviously, we are more than happy to go into the details of what is happening in the background. All right? Okay, Marcus?
Okay, I'm going to switch over. So, okay, now you can see our portal. As you can see, this portal is basically quite different from the Azure Pack portal right now. This is a modern UI-based portal. And we are leveraging the Internet Explorer functionality on this. So at first, as you can see here on the top, I'm now logged on as a reseller. The reseller that is doing the job for the IT end consumers, so managing and providing the technology. And basically, this portal was primarily developed in the language of German. That's at some point you will see we are not fully translated to English right now, but we are on the way to do that. So in the top of this, you can see the some icons where you have the way to manage this website. So you can create a ticket over there. You have the way to switch between the portal if you have the right to do that. So as I'm now logged in as a reseller, I am able to check the reseller page. I can switch over to different other functionalities like backup, like virtual applications, virtual desktop, so the software as a service thing like Victor just mentioned. And then we have a basic hardware monitor. That's a thing where Wortmann just is giving the resellers a way to collect basic information from hardware computers that are part of the deployment, and that will show up later on if you start that, and some administration parts. So this is the hardware service monitor, just to give you a brief overview. I'm going to close it down again because we're going to talk about the portal. So yes, this is the portal, this is the starting page, and there you're going to see some basic information on your reseller details. On the left, you're going to see the details, what you can do within the portal. So as a reseller, you can manage your customers within that. So you can create your own customers, or you can check the details with that, like I created here for testing purposes. So you can manage your customers, your end customers in total. You can have a look at the products the Waldman Data Center is offering. Sorry to some resolution issues. Software as a service, the S in the bottom of this page, would reside on the right, but due to the resolution, it's now at another location. So we have housing. Housing, just like Victor mentioned, if a customer is bringing the computer to the data center, we have this housing functionality configure. Then you have the product hosting, where you have the Waldman hardware that sits in the data center with some options that are required. These are the red ones, and some optional options that are the yellow or orange ones. And here we have the infrastructure as a service, which is WAP. And here we have a setup that the infrastructure as a service consists of the virtual machine itself, and as it is a private cloud, we have a firewall that sits in front of that. It's another virtual machine that you will see in the demos later on. You have the option to add storage, memory, backup, etc., and you can configure things like direct access to the portal or to the data center. Next thing, you have the offers, and as you will see here and all at all other pages, we are modern UI based. We have live tiles, so you can manage your offers right in this portal, so that you have a way to configure and create an offer. This offer will then be able. You can download it as an RTF file, modify it like you want as a reseller, and you're done. Then basically the most interesting thing for technology guys is the order functionality. This is the part where the reseller is ordering a piece of virtual machine. This virtual machine will then be later on deployed using SMA technology, and PowerShell will be made available, and you are able to configure it. So these running virtual machines in the data center, or the running functionality, each of the products in the data center for this reseller, as you can see over there, he's having some hardware and at least an infrastructure as a service package. So the idea Victor already mentioned, that you have one view of all products, housing, hosting, infrastructure as a service, so Azure Pack, and software as a service in the future. This is the view where you all see these details. If you look on to the left side, there are some more options. You can create a ticket if you have some issues with your machine that will be later on brought to a service manager that sits in the data center, and where the TerraCloud, the Waldman guys, are doing their ticketing with. You have to configure, or you may configure some settings, download some contracts so that you have a basis to work with, and you can configure with your main account some of your employees that may be able to use the portal too. So on the right, you're going to have some options. You're going to see the chosen customer. You have a way to check the history, go back or forward, and even though do some search on the portal. So this is the overview how the portal looks like. I think I'm now passing over to Victor again to check further challenges we had.
Hello? Okay, now, sorry. Okay, so As if you have seen previously the Windows Azure pack, it doesn't look like this, right? It looks like a nice portal, like an Azure portal with blue colors, with your resources on the left and your virtual machines on the right. So basically, we can see here how the customer integrated or added another service to their existing portal without having to provide another portal to their customers. It's really transparent for the end users. End users doesn't know. They don't know that this is Azure Pack. What they see is just that they are getting their services from from Workmont, okay, as they have been doing before. Before they were able to get hardware, as Marcus was showing here, and now they get another option, which is an infrastructure as a service packet. So they can have their virtual machines, they can get new virtual machines, they can buy new services from the same portal with a seamless experience. So it's really transparent, and you don't see it. The complexity is not really that high, as we mentioned. Obviously, you need to do some coding in this portal, but all the activity in order to deploy the resources in Azure Pack, it's PowerShell. We are just using the public tenant API, the commandlets that connect to that API to perform those activities. Obviously, here in the way that you talk from here to the API is via or to PowerShell is via SMA, because what we want is SMA to coordinate all our workflows. For example, we can create an SMA runbook to deploy an environment, okay? We want to deploy several virtual machines at once, for example, if that's what the customer wants, so that's how we automate our processes. Does this make sense, or I am just confusing you guys? Is it clear? Okay?
So basically, why we chose to go with PowerShell from technical side, we want to make sure that we have a clear connection point, a clear way to talk to Azure Pack, and that's why we decided to go that way. Okay, I'm going to hand over to you, Victor. Yep.
Okay, so okay, now we know how to integrate the portal into or Azure Pack into a custom portal. We know how programmatically we can call the APIs, and we know how to programmatically start SMA runbooks. Okay, now the second challenge is reseller. Okay, if you have some experience with Windows Azure Pack, you know that you have the admin model or admin persona, and you have the tenant persona. Okay, remember at the beginning of the slides, we mentioned that the Workmont business model is that they have a person in the middle, which is the reseller. But Azure Pack doesn't have a reseller. Okay, so how could we solve this problem? Okay, first. First, I will pause in this slide, and I want to show this, okay? Have you seen the Azure Pack forums? Is this something that you have seen before? Okay, so if you come to me after the session, I will share the link of the Azure Pack forums. So basically, it's the place where you can request the functionality that is missing in Azure Pack to the product group. Okay, if you send us an email, okay, yeah, we can take a look and we will follow up and we'll see what we can do. But it's not managed. If you put something here, this is something that is managed, it's something that is tracked, it's something that we review on a very, very regular basis. Okay, so the way that you can make your voice heard is using these forums. If you let us know that you want a future, if you vote for a future, we will review it, and we have people that is reviewing those requests as they are coming from you. As you can see in the forums, we have 27 votes as of a few days ago that they are requesting to having this persona, that the reseller is not in Azure Pack. Rupi is obviously working on this. This is under review. They are evaluating how to implement this functionality. The problem is as of today, there is no solution. Okay? So what is the workaround? So how do we went around this limitation so that we didn't stop the business and we could go into market without leaving our resellers behind? So, luckily, Windows Azure Pack includes a persona which is called the co-administrator. Okay? Whenever you create a subscription, you have a feature in that subscription that is called co-administrator. Co-administrator, as the name says, is who is the person that will co-administer your subscription. Okay, so let's pause a minute. What can we do with this role? Okay, so the idea that we came at Workmont is the one that you see on the left-hand side. Okay? So we have the customer. The customer is the person that at the end of the day uses the virtual machines, that uses the resources. So the customer is the owner of the subscription in Azure Pack. All right? Then we have the reseller. The reseller is the person to which we don't have a model in Azure Pack, okay, but we need to be responsible for the subscriptions of our users, okay? So in this case, the reseller is the co-administrator of the end user subscription, okay? And there can be one reseller to multiple users. It's a one-to-many relationship, okay? Then we have the next persona, which is the government administrator or the cloud administrator, okay? This is the traditional administrator in Windows Azure Pack. When you have, so this is the person that manages the admin portal. This is the person that goes and creates the plans, creates the subscriptions, manages the users, okay? And finally, we have the fabric administrators, which are the responsible for all the fabric underneath Windows Azure Pack, which is Server 2012 R2 and Service and System Center 2012 R2, okay? So with this basic functionality, it's just a feature that you have in the Azure Pack subscription, which is called the co-administrator. We will able to integrate the resellers into our model, okay? So I know that Azure Pack team is still working on this model, but as of today, you can rely on this as an example of how you could implement a co-administrator or a reseller in case you have a reseller into your environment that is already validated, is proven that this is something that can be used as of today. Okay. Next challenge that we had is, okay, I am giving access to my resellers now to the infrastructure. But now, I don't want everybody to have the same level of access to the subscriptions. I want specific persons to have some rights in Azure Pack and some people to don't have the same right. For example, while I want the resellers to be able to delete virtual machines, for example, I don't want the tenants to do it, okay? While I want the resellers to create new virtual machines, I don't want the tenants to create new virtual machines. Why? Because that doesn't fit into the model of the business. Basically, what I want is that Windows Azure Pack shows me only the features or the rights that the user is entitled to do, okay? The only problem that we have is that as of today, we don't have this in Azure Pack, okay? And then if we return to our forums in Azure Pack, this is the top feature that people is asking for. So if you have, I don't know, 150 requests for Azure Pack, this is the number one. So people is asking for role-based access control. In fact, I wanted to put this picture because as you can see, I didn't filter the portal. I just went into the forums, and this is the number one. So this is what people is requesting. They want role-based access control. Why? For different reasons. One of the problems that we have is that you have the tenant portal in Azure Pack, but you cannot change the icons. We have a defined number of icons, you cannot change them. For example, if you give virtual machine clouds, automatically we have the resource provider for VM networks, and you cannot remove it, so it's not possible. So how did we overcome this challenge? Let me go here. Okay, so let's show you how we solved these problems, the co-administrator and role-based access control in Azure Pack.
Thank you, Victor. So now I'm on the portal again. I'm logged in as a reseller, as you can see on the top. And we're going to have a look at the orders that are existing in the environment. I'm going to open it up. There you can see the active packages. So for the infrastructure as a service thing, this is the part we are having now, we are talking now about. So you're able to do VPN connects with the system. You are able to connect to the firewall. You're able to do an RDP. But how to leverage the functionality of RBAC, so role-based access control. We did that with a way that we put in two keys. There you can see the purple key and the blue key. What key, which key you are seeing depends upon the permissions you're having right now on the portal. To make these demo quite easy, I'm logged in with a user that has both permissions, log in as with the blue key and log on with the purple key. I'm going to just start logging on as a tenant into this environment. So I just clicked that, and now we're going to open the functionalities for the reseller, for the tenant, sorry. So now you're going to see something that looks quite similar to the Etherpack tenant. You're going to see that we have three virtual machines that are currently running and provisioned and online. But you're going to see that we have missing functionality because the end customer shouldn't have a way to configure to delete the virtual machine. You have just a way, as you can see on the bottom, to connect it, to pause it, to restart it, to shut down and stop this virtual machine. So if we just trying a connect, you're going to see that we have now the remote console access to this virtual machine, and now the connection has been initiated. So now we are live in the data center of the Terra Cloud of Wortmann, live on this virtual machine, and you are able to connect and do what you think, what you want with that. I'm going to close this down. So we have limited functionality for the tenant of this, of this overview, of this configuration. So there is no way to do scale up, scale in, scale out functionality that's missing. But you're going to give and see how much cores, how much RAM, how much storage, etc. you're using in this private cloud. So I'm going to log off now. And we're going to have a look how this would, looks like if you have more permissions. So now I'm going to use the blue key. And you will see something that you might have seen already, or you would have seen already if you just know how the default portal of the standard portal of Azure Pack works. This is the admin portal of the reseller. So you're able now to fully control this virtual machine. So if you're going to look into this, you will see that you are able to delete this virtual machine if you want to. You can update it. So things the end customer shouldn't do by default in the idea of the Wortmann guys. Then you're going to have the way to scale this server, so you can add resources to this virtual machine, and you are able to change the instance count so that you have a way to do more or to provide more than this virtual machine that is basically a functionality that has been part of the gallery item that sits on this virtual machine. Later on, the configure button or the configure view, the tab where you're going to see the total configuration of this virtual machine, and you get all details with it. So this is the administration part of this for this reseller. So if a reseller has more than one of the end users, that hopefully he has more than one, you're able to select which machines you may see here and which not. So this is the filter functionality to see the select this current the correct subscriptions. Okay, so I'm gonna close this down now. So and switch over again to this portal. So as you can see, what we did, put in a functionality to provide less features, that features that Wortmann designed for an end user into the portal, and we gave them a way for the reseller to fully control and fully administer the private cloud it is default from within Azure Pack.
Okay.
I think, Victor, yeah. I'm going to switch over to you again.
Yeah. So basically, you saw two different portals. You saw the tenant portal for WAP that is being used for the resellers, which they have the full functionality. And then you have a very light version of a portal that was written by Worman that offers just enough functionality so that the tenants can manage resources. For example, start, stop their virtual machines or remote connect to their virtual machines. So this is important to highlight. So while the tenant portal is an out-of-the-box solution, the end user portal that you saw by Marcus, the very skinny version, that's custom written by Worman. Okay, we don't provide it as part of the Windows Azure Pack installer. It's something that they created. But basically, as we discussed, what they are using are the tenant public API to what? To display which virtual machines you have, to start them, to stop them. Okay, and the reason why this portal or this little portal was created is because the missing role-based access control functionality in WAP. Why? Because they don't want tenants to create virtual machines. They don't want tenants to delete them. They want the resellers to create the virtual machines and tenants just to consume them. All right? Okay. So I think that what we are going to do is now we are going to summarize with an end-to-end process on how a reseller places an order so the virtual machine is created. And so what we will highlight are the integration points where we are talking to the Worman APIs and where we are talking to the WAP APIs and how we are doing. So this is the last demo that we are going to do. If please stop us if it's not clear how we are doing the integration. So we will pause there. We will spend a few minutes or a few seconds explaining the integration part. Obviously, it's not obvious because that's the idea that is transparent for end users, but we will explain in the background what is happening when we are doing the integration points. All right?
So, let's go to show how it is able to request a virtual machine within this portal. So I've told you a lot of things from the sales thing. We're not a sales presentation here now. So I'm going to start at the stage where an end user is ordering a virtual machine. How does that work? Here we have the orders. And within the portal, logged in as a reseller, you can create or provide all details of a new order. So you have to decide what function, what product you are using. So we're going to start with infrastructure as a service for sure. And here you see now the optional services and the optional connectors. I'm going to add a new product there. So as you can see, Wortmann has just decided to start within the portal with four kinds of virtual machines. We are 1,000 to 4,000, and if you look to the details, you're just going to see that there's a difference how much power, how much performance this machine is having, starting with a low number of vCores and RAM, going to up to 8 vCores and 33 gigabyte of RAM. The next minor version, the update they are planning is that they are trying to consume and provide just resources. So now we're going to choose VM1000 and ordering now this functionality. So now you're going to see this VM1000 and maybe, hopefully, you can see that for monitoring and SPLA licensing, we have a small plus right in the top side, and as we are gonna provide another Linux firewall, we don't need any SPLA licenses, so I'm gonna delete this option, and we don't need monitoring, so I'm gonna now step into the details of this setting. So I'm going to the next step. I have to describe these VM I am offering or trying to get. So GE14 firewall 001. I can decide how much, configure how much public IP addresses we need for this virtual machine. So, and as you can see, I've chosen 5. Now you have the total pricing that's refreshing on the right. Then you have to decide the domain name. And you can choose the connection to this virtual machine with this button. Finally, set the IP address, set the subnet mask, and go to the next step. Now we need the commission name. This is typically for this part is typically part of Wortmann. They need a commission name for the firewall. I will gonna choose the same one than the name of this firewall. And the internal IP address, and finally the number of users that are sitting, that will be sitting behind this firewall. So I'm going to choose 99. Finally, one of the last steps, you need to decide if you want only a firewall functionality or email, internet, and spam functionalities that are options on this Linux-based firewall. I'm going to choose them. And as a last step, you have to decide if you want to administer as a reseller the firewall yourself, or if that's going to be done via Wortmann. Choose save. Now the system is asking if I want to save the configuration, if I'm going to say yes to the contract, and then at this stage we have placed an order. What does it mean technically? Now the system is creating this order. It's configuring the subscriptions, the clouds, the quotas, etc. If needed, and finally the system is going to be deployed with firing up SMA runbook that we are starting over there, and within half an hour or whatever the system you are trying to deploy, the system will be now online. To make sure that I can show you how to enable, how to provide a VM, I'm going to do it a different way because of timing issues, and I'm going to do it that way. That
just let me pause here a little bit. So
yeah,
before we move forward, so here I think the key that we can take from this for this part of the demo is, so infrastructure as a service is just a basic of the offerings that they have, Wortmann is offering. On top, they are adding other services like public IP, public IPS, okay? They are offering antivirus. They are offering additional services so that they can add value to their... They are not offering just pure II infrastructure as a service. A lot of people do that. So their differentiation is that they are combining infrastructure as a service with other offerings that Wortmann have, like, for example, you saw that very easily. How many public IPs do you want? Which is the connectivity that you want to this virtual machine, etc.? So Azure Pack, the only thing that it does is just creates the virtual machine, right? But they are combining as other offerings that they have, like the public IPs, into the same package. So for the user, it's really transparent. They don't see it. They don't know that it's talking to Azure Pack. Azure Pack, yes, is doing the virtual machine, but Wortmann has the opportunity to add premium services that really adds the value to the, what they offer to their tenants compared to traditional infrastructure as a service providers. And at the end of the day, when they place the order and he clicks, yes, I want to place the order, there are a lot of things happening. One is an SMA runbook is being triggered. We pass the parameters for the virtual machine only. For example, what is the domain name? What is the size of the virtual machine? Okay, how many NICs do you want on the virtual machine? That's information for Azure Pack, and that's what we pass to the SMA runbook. The rest goes to the Wortmann-specific services, like how do they request public IPs? Okay, they have their own backend for that. How do they request the antivirus? Okay, they have other things for that. Remember the SPLA or the monitoring. Those are options also that they are going to their backend. So basically for this portal, they can route the request. If they go to Azure Pack, which is the virtual machine, or if it goes to the other offerings from Wortmann, the IPS, the monitoring part, SPLA, et cetera, et cetera.
And how we do that technically based, we are creating tickets, incidents, or changes within Service Manager that will be then sent to the appropriate teams. And if they have chosen or done the configuration, then we're going to get the feedback. And our system, the portal, knows then when we have all requirements been set up into the environment, and then the SMA runbook starts, and the virtual machine will be deployed. Yep. So, just to show you on a manual way to provide the virtual machine in this environment, because of the timing issues I've already talked about, then I'm going to log on to Azure Pack as an administrator again. So, as a reseller, sorry. And the reseller has a way to provide virtual machines. So here in the bottom, you're going to see the new button. If I click to that, I'm going to be able to provide a new virtual machine from Gallery. And if you compare it with the default setup of Azure Pack or maybe with Azure, you will see here different options, different so-called gallery items. And Wortmann decided to choose the gallery items on their own configuration. So there's the VM gallery offering tool have been using with this. And you will see that we have a domain controller that's based on Windows Server 2012. We're going to have Exchange 2013. We're going to have the firewall, a web server that's domain joined, machines that are enabled for desktop experience, because the customers of Wortmann main often interested in VDI solutions, so connecting to a server that's mainly more a client in the cloud, and that's where we are enabling desktop experiences with that. Yeah, and from that to the bottom, you're going to see this is for Server 2012 and 2012 R2 right now. We're going to add there a lot of gallery items in the future. So choose the appropriate gallery items. I've ordered a firewall, so we're going to fire off the SecurePoint firewall gallery items, provide some details. So this is nothing you have to do when you are on the automatic deployment of this virtual machine. It's just to show you how that works. So it was T14 firewall 0001. Next is you have to choose the computer size. For this, for the firewall, we have a basic setup from the supplier, from the partner that's doing that. It's one CPU, 2 GB of RAM. It's a virtual machine based on Linux. And you have to choose what's the external configuration, the external VLAN and the internal VLAN of this infrastructure. Fire it up, and now WAP is doing its job like it is doing when we are done with our whole setup, the whole automation. This is being provided by the SMA runbook. The virtual machine is being created, as you can see. We are on the provisioning step. And why did I choose to provide you or to give you the information with a Linux machine? This is quite quick. We're going to have this machine within 1 to 2 minutes. So hopefully, if everything's working fine, I can show you how to connect to this virtual machine within seconds right now. So as you can see, operation successfully. The virtual machine is there, and I'm able to connect to it. Connect to the console. And as you can see, the virtual machine is just starting. And in a few seconds later, we are on the logon screen, and the virtual machine is running as it should. And we are able to log on and configure it if we need more configuration as a reseller. Okay. Here we go. This is the virtual machine that We provide it at this step manually, but generally when the SMA runbook starts up and everything's fully automated, then you are at the same step, mm-hmm. a few minutes plus.
Yep. So basically, as we saw, is usually they don't resellers don't go into this portal. We are just putting this portal as an additional level of administration if resellers want to do it. But the way they provision services are through the Warman portal, and at the end of the day, the results are the same if they do it from the Warman portal or from the default WAP channel portal. It's just that we are just hiding that complexity, and we are providing consistent experience to their tenants. So just putting it all together, we saw this demo, and basically we wanted to close this session with final thoughts. It is the richness of Windows Azure Pack is very, very, it's very flexible. You have different options to extend Azure Pack, given that we have those APIs, the admin APIs and the tenant APIs. We have PowerShell, so you can do it programmatically or via PowerShell. In our case, we decided to do it PowerShell, but it can be done exactly the same as programmatically. I shared with you a sample code, which is totally using managed code in order to perform the same functionality that we showed you. And at the end of the day, is basically PowerShell, the functionality is very rich. All that we showed you is basically PowerShell with minimum amount of code, okay? So I think at this point, I will just ask if you have any questions, guys. So if you have any questions, yep. If you can reach out to the microphone so that all of us can hear your questions. And yep, so anybody has any questions? Does this make sense? So how can I say it? I hope that while the concepts are a bit technical, even for the ones that don't have that much experience in Azure Pack, but the key takeaway is that Azure Pack provides a functionality. In this case, we focus in infrastructure as a service, but that does not mean that you have to use the tenant portal. So you can use other tools, in our case, a custom portal, in order to perform the same functionality, to increase your services, to offer other services, to complement the services with the offerings that you have. So it's up to you guys. So there are different options, and don't know if there are no more questions, so we still have few more minutes here, so we will be standing here if you want to approach and ask further questions. Otherwise, we can give us also our email addresses. You can send us an email, and we can follow up from there. All right? Well, thank you.